Children of the living God, by his grace, we are children of the living God, and we have come into our Father's house to lift up his name in worship. Would you prepare your hearts and your minds through song?
Page 248 in your hymn book, first stanza only.
God's greetings this morning to all of you saints and sinners and all who fall in between. We are here to worship the living God, and we welcome especially our visitors who are with us today. You will find on the back of the pew in front of you a little visitor's card that you can fill out and place in the offering plate today, and it helps us get to know you a little bit better. Also, a new addition as of last Sunday are prayer cards. Also, you can find those on the back of the pew in front of you. And there's an opportunity for you to share your prayer to indicate whether it's private or one that you'd like the whole congregation to share with on the prayer list. And you can place that in the offering plate, or outside in the lobby, you'll find a box that says prayer requests. You can place it there as well. A few reminders for us today. First of all, the casserole team, that's one of our deacon teams that is involving any member who would like to participate and help in any way. They need to have a brief meeting, 15 minutes, immediately after church next Sunday in the fellowship hall. And we also want to encourage you to remember and to mark on your calendar the community Thanksgiving service. This is a service shared by our congregation and the other congregations in Elon community. And we are hosting, which means we are providing the food. So if you'd like to know if there's a way for you to help or participate in the preparing of the food, make sure you speak to someone on the family team, either Susan, or you can speak with Linnea. And we want to encourage you today to consider coming to the Bible study tonight. We have a mealtime following that. We have an opportunity to go a little bit deeper into the Word of God and study it in a very challenging way. But pray for me especially today. As you can look at your bulletin, you see it's the Mason Smith Show. Today, I'm all alone here, and I'm thankful for the depth of our leadership within the choir to come forward and step forward. But I have a little bit of a cold as well, so bear with me today as we continue to worship with the reading of our opening scripture passage from the letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Hear now the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we invoke your name in this place. We are here to meet with you. We are here to meet with your word, to be shaped, to be transformed, to not leave this place as we came, but to go out from here at the ending of the service with deeper faith and deeper commitments. We've also come here, O Lord, to lift up your holy name, to say to you with all our strength, thank you for all your glory, for all that you do, for your grace and your mercies and your love that never ends. And Lord, we pray as Christ himself taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'll please stand and join all of us together as we sing Shine, Jesus, Shine. It's 579 in the hymn book. If you use the hymn book, it will be up on the screen, all three stanzas.
Light of the world, shine upon us, save us. You're getting desperate if I'm helping you this week, huh? Operation Christmas Child boxes are due today, but we are not delivering until Wednesday or Thursday. So we're about 75 short upstairs, so you still have a chance to go shopping this week, and please leave them in the fellowship hall. Since 1993, more than 113 million shoeboxes have been delivered to children in over 150 countries. Samaritan's Purse hopes to deliver enough shoeboxes to reach 10 million more children this year. The collection is this week, November 17th through the 24th, and there are more than 4,000 drop-off sites in the United States. Shoeboxes are collected in the United States, Australia, Austria, Canada, Finland, Germany, Ireland, Japan, New Zealand, Spain, Switzerland, and the United Kingdom. There are more than 500,000 volunteers, 100,000 in the United States, that are involved in collecting, shipping, and distributing shoeboxes. This year, shoeboxes will go to children in over 100 countries and 6 continents. So when you pray this week, please keep the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes in your prayers. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we ask your blessings upon the shoeboxes. We ask your blessings upon those that created them here and those millions and thousands of volunteers across the country, Lord, that are helping to ship and distribute these shoeboxes. We ask your blessings upon the children that will receive these boxes, Lord. Not only will they have joy at Christmas, but hopefully will learn about your love. Please help us all to help make the difference in life of not just one child, but many children across the world. Amen.
We'd like to invite all of our children to come forward now and join us here at the steps for our children's sermon. Good morning, guys. All right. Now, you see who's sitting over there in the chair behind me? That's not Mr. David, is it? That's a cookie jar that I keep in my office. And it's kind of funny because I love it when people, especially little children, come to try to sneak a cookie from my office. Wesley, why don't you open that up?
Get your hand up my cookie jar.
And you'd be surprised how many times I'm down the hallway and I hear this sound.
Get your hand up my cookie jar.
It's really a joke because there's actually no cookies in it. It's more just to be funny. But the truth is, it's not very nice if I was being serious, is it? If I really didn't want to share my cookies and had a lion to protect my cookies, I could do that all day. That wouldn't be very nice, would it? Yes. It's completely empty. Because the truth is, the Bible tells us not to be selfish, doesn't it? But we're supposed to share with other people. And a lot of times we forget to share at the most important place, and that's in our own homes. Now, each of you has something to share with your family. You might not think that you do, but you really do. The number one thing you share is your love. To show your love to your mommies and daddies and your brothers and sisters, to show them that you want to be sweet to them, to say nice things, those are great ways to share your love. But you also have to share your time. Sometimes all we want to do is just play with our stuff all the time. But sometimes we need to play with the rest of our family too, don't we? And share our time with them shows that we love them and that we want to share our love with them. So don't be like this.
Get your hand up my cookie jar.
But be sweet and share your love with your family. Let's pray for God to help us do just that. God, thank you so much for these 3 men here. And we pray, Lord, that you would help them to share their love and their time with their families so that we could all be as you would want us to be. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
My question just looks at you and it looks normal and then it opens up.
And then it just goes crazy. We put Mr. David back.
Number 4 in your hymnal, all 3 stanzas of To God Be the Glory. Please stand.
Open. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing each of us here today. Bless each gift and the giver. Let everything be used for your glory. Let us always be a witness for you in all that we say and do. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Oh God, our pastoral prayer today is for our families. We lift up to you, Lord, each of us who are mothers and fathers, parents seeking to care for our children. We lift up those of us who are little children or grown children, still seeking and striving to honor our parents. We lift up the single parent, O Lord, who struggles. We lift up, O Lord, those who have lost family. They too struggle with grief, with loss. We lift up our families who seek to stay connected in a world of disconnect. We lift up our extended families, O Lord, some we see only once or twice a year, if at all. And we lift up our church family, for we are a family, and you are our Father. And we confess, O Lord, that often we do not take our families seriously enough. Often we allow ourselves to be distracted by the things of the world, by the other messages that are bombarding us day in and day out. We know, O Lord, that all of us could do better with family. But we stand not on our own strength, but on your grace and your mercy and your love and your word that promises that you are the God of second chances, the God of mercy and forgiveness. And we believe your promises in your word. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our second scripture is one that is quite familiar, from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And all God's people said, amen. Talking about sharing in families, I want to thank my family for sharing a cold with me today. So perhaps we go to the Lord in prayer once more. Father, we pray that as your word is preached, as your word is read, so your word would be received. In Christ's name, amen. Many years ago, I was at a reception with my wife, and it was the first time she was meeting my mother's side of the family, the Todds. And there she was standing just out of the reception line, and she had a plate of finger foods, and there were some chicken wings there. And my cousin, who is much older than I am, he came up and he was talking to her and to me, and he just casually did what a Todd would do. He reached over and grabbed a chicken leg off of Kim's plate and proceeded to talk and eat the chicken leg. And when he was done, he put it back on her plate. And after he walked away, I just smiled at my bride and I said, "Welcome to the family." You know, families have folks like that in it, and it can be celebrated. Sometimes it's more difficult things that we have to deal with. As the saying goes, there is one in every family. And to that, I usually add, and if you don't know who it is in your family, it's probably you. But it is easy to point the fingers at other people in our families and say, you know, uncle so-and-so and cousin that and brother here. And, you know, the problem is my wife, when she would say the problem is my husband. It makes me think about a story I read many years ago about a psychologist who was receiving a new patient, and the patient walked in. He was had a nervous tic. He would scream one moment. He would weep the next. He was dressed like a clown. He had little leather lederhosen shorts and a clown tie and a roofing nail through his nose, and he had all these crazy quirks. And when the psychologist says, "Now, what can I do for you today?" he said, "Well, I'm really worried about my wife." Really? Perhaps we could worry more about ourselves rather than pointing the finger at other people in our families. But whatever the finger pointing might involve, the American family, the modern family, certainly is becoming dysfunctional, isn't it? You know, we talked last week about the glory days and the good old days and celebrating our history and heritage. And one of those things I think that is certainly worthy of celebrating and considering is the strength of the family, the importance of the family. And not simply the family, but the Christian home. We talked yesterday, several men and I, as we hiked through the woods, about the importance of building our home, our family, on the foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ. But as we look at the modern family, whatever type of family it might be, one parent, two, or the nuclear two parents and, what is it, 2.5 children. I always felt sorry for that 0.5 child. But whatever the shape or the color or the look or the flavor of our families throughout our nation, throughout our world, we do see certain dysfunctions. For example, though we live in an age where we are more connected than ever before, we can send an email, a picture, a text to anyone in the world at virtually any time, anywhere, and yet do we not sense that we are more disconnected than ever before? That we just aren't relating to each other, and especially within the family. Many times you could walk into the home as an invisible man or woman, and what would you find at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock? Chances are you'd find every member of the family in their own little corner of the house, faces buried in a tiny little screen. But we're together, aren't we? I have had meals with families where they only rarely looked up to each other to answer a quick question with a yes or no. It's a dysfunction to be so disconnected from one another. We see even on Sunday mornings we come to church and everybody goes a different direction and we may not see each other again for the rest of the day. That's a dysfunction. There's the dysfunction of the loss of the family meal. Now, as our work schedules change in our modern society, we have to become more creative about the concept of coming together around a meal. And I would be the first to confess, I'm not always great about this one. But there's a dysfunction when we no longer share in the breaking of bread together. When we never longer share in that intimate, how was your day? How was your day? What did you learn at school today? And where are those moments slipping away to? What is happening in our families? There's the dysfunction of a lack of prayer, a lack of spirituality within the home, to where we no longer want to talk about God with our children because, frankly, we're kind of afraid what they might ask. And children, we're just as bad. We don't want to hear. And though it might be tempting to say it's this person's fault or that, I think that the reality of the modern family is we're all failing to some degree. Every one of us has a part to play in the dysfunction. Every one of us has a part to play in the disconnect, whether it be from our parents or our cousins, uncles, aunts, or even our brothers and sisters in Christ, in this family of God. What are we to do? Where are we to turn? How do we dig ourselves out of this situation? There are a lot of answers in the world, aren't there? Perhaps we'll get a good book about parenting or read a guide to a healthier marriage. That's great. That's a good start. That's a good direction to begin seeking help. Or perhaps we'll attend a marriage retreat or a marriage workshop or take a class on parenting to get some new tools and some new ideas. Good. Maybe we'll watch an episode of Dr. Phil. Bad. But perhaps we will turn to some video series or sign up for a special discipleship class, or maybe we'll talk to a counselor and bring someone in who can talk to us about our marriage or about our children or talk to our children. All good, but incomplete. There is a deeper layer to the healing that's available to us, my friends. There is a deeper source of healing and life and strength. And we find it here in this Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guards keep watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives sleep to his beloved. I think we'll just stop with those two verses because there's more than enough right there. This paints a picture of a person waking up early, working their heart out to provide for their house and home, staying up late to make sure all tasks and chores are accomplished. And the psalmist complains that this is all in vain. In vain. And he begins by saying, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. I read this scripture at every wedding ceremony that I officiate because I think it makes such a basic, profound truth that no amount of self-help, no amount of working on my issues, no amount of counseling, no amount of classes, no volume of books read can make up for the presence of Christ in the family. But that's what it comes down to. When I was a chaplain for the Boys and Girls Homes of North Carolina, we had all kinds of programs for broken and hurting children. But we always said that without a change of heart, there was no change. And so it is for the broken family. Without a change of heart, there is no real, true, genuine change. The Lord must be the one to build the house brick by brick. But what does this look like in a world where we are overworked and overcommitted? Even in a world where our children are overworked and overcommitted, running constantly from this activity to that, from this club to that, from this practice to that, from this friend's house to that one's. And we adults are modeling it for them, aren't we? I think to build a Christ-like home starts with being at home. Some. Enough. And to be at home doesn't mean sitting in a room together with the television on or with our smart devices in our hands. But being at home means being connected with each other intimately, deeply, sharing. For children, sometimes that's a difficult, especially for teenagers and for those young adults, to make those kinds of commitments to our parents when we are beginning to learn and experience the world on our own. For parents, it's just as difficult to make the time that's necessary. But unless the Lord builds the home, its laborers have toiled in vain. And when we are together, what then do we do? The number one thing I always tell couples when I'm doing marriage counseling, if there's some tension or some frustration, no matter how young or old you are, no matter how new or aged your relationship is, the number one first thing to do is pray with each other. Sometimes we say, well, I don't want to pray with him. I'm not there yet emotionally. Well, pray at least for each other. You know, Jesus says, pray for your enemies for a reason. I find it very, very hard to hate someone that I'm praying for, don't you? That's like a kind of torture when you say, I want to be mad at this person, but God's making me pray for him. And in prayer, our hearts meet the heart of Christ and our mind changes about that person. And the hope would be that if we pray for each other long enough and hard enough, we won't be able to resist praying with each other, hand in hand. You see, I would encourage you to think about marriage and parenting, not about growing closer to each other. That any family can grow close to each other, with or without Christ. The Christian family's purpose is not growing closer to each other, but growing closer to God. And if we are praying with each other, we are drawing each other into the presence of God. We are growing closer and closer. Husband here, wife here, closer and closer. And if you get close enough, you find out you meet each other. And you're bonded together. It's about this, not this. And prayer leads to all sorts of dangerous things, doesn't it? You start praying with each other, the next thing you know, you'll be having a family devotion. You might be reading the Bible together. Nothing too serious or difficult at first, just a verse of the day, just a daily family devotional moment. And then you find you start talking about God. Do you know that's what theology is? I had for a long time this image in my mind of theology being done by old men with long white beards in the top of some tower somewhere. That's theology, but theology is something that starts in the mind of every believer. It is, and here's Mason's definition, thinking about God. How many of us think about God than we do theology? But do it as a family. Parents imparting that wisdom to their children. Children surprising us parents with their wisdom and the asking of questions. Why is it that we think that it's up to our pastors and our Sunday school teachers to teach and shape and mold our children? What has happened in our world that we have forgotten that discipleship begins not in the church, but in the home? And if we are not discipling our families, we are missing the mark. Praying, reading the scripture, talking theology, coming together in worship, These things are the foundation, the building blocks of a strong and healthy home. What is that that Jesus said about a wise man who builds his house? He doesn't build it on the sandy foundation that's always slipping and moving, much like our lives, always in constant motion, slipping and moving and falling. But no, he says the wise man builds his home on the rock, the person of Jesus Christ. Invite Jesus into your home today. And I hear that amen. Would you pray with me? Oh God, you are the builder. You are the homemaker. You are the life giver. Would that we yield our families to you and your wisdom this day. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. As we sing our hymn of response, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, number 61 in your hymn books, I want to invite families, if you would seek prayer, if you would seek to renew your commitment to inviting Christ into your family, to use this time to huddle together where you are in a moment of prayer. If you're sitting beside your spouse, to squeeze his or her hand, to find each other in this moment, as I would say, and perhaps even to come to this altar and kneel together as a family in prayer. It doesn't mean that we're getting it wrong or that we're rededicating our lives to Christ, but simply that we acknowledge we need Jesus in the home. Would you respond in this time of worship as we stand together, if you're able, and sing?
Thank you.
Would you receive this blessing as we go and remain standing for our response? God is our Father who loves us, His children. May God go with you and lead you and guide you as a family, bringing you strength and peace in the home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.